Monday. Sorry to end the song so early. I just didn't want to listen to the whole song. I'm here here tonight in the asymmetric home offices in a different room than I'm normally in when I do the Monday show because Scully is in the room with me, and I'm so excited.
We are son dans la maison, as the French say.
Oh, yeah? Does that mean we're both in the house?
Something like that.
And Riff decided to join us.
Hello.
How's it going, Riff?
It's going all right.
So does that song say change my pitch up?
It does, in fact, say okay. Change my pitch up, smack my bitch up. I was just, there was a Metafilter link today. Riff, did you see that?
Huh.
It was, so this guy made a YouTube video of how to make the song Smack My Bitch Up by Prodigy, and he just found a bunch of samples and showed the process of, like, stripping out bits of them and playing them and speeding parts up and slowing parts down or whatever. And they play the original, there's just some, like, rap song, and it's, yeah, the line, change my pitch up, smack my bitch up.
Yeah.
And I never knew that that's what the lyrics to that song were.
No, like, I understood that the Smack My Bitch Up was about scratching your turntable, not necessarily hitting a chick.
Mm-hmm.
But I always thought it was, like, take my picture
or something. I think I thought it was chase my bitch up, smack my bitch up.
Huh.
And I thought it was about beating a woman after chasing her.
Ah, so that was why you enjoyed it. No, it could have been wrecked that for you.
Right,
it could have been about beating Amy. You know,
after you've chased her and caught her.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
No, I'm not chasing Cotter. How can I welcome him back if I never let him leave? Somebody made a funny joke during the LARP. I said I was describing a puzzle, and I said that these balls represent the liquid and they behave as liquid wood. And somebody was like, "How does liquid wood behave? I've never seen that before."
So if you had like a huge like a 55-gallon drum of liquid wood and a 55-gallon drum of liquid nails.
Yeah.
Did you build just fucking anything?
A big liquid house. We had no Thursday show because we were roller skating, and Zly fell down and broke her crown, if her crown was being worn on her elbow.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird.
I suggested that she not wear the elbow tiara. It probably unbalanced her enough to make her fall.
Did, yeah, just enough tiara. The 150 pounds of diamonds on her left arm.
Mm-hmm.
Normally she wears them on the soles of her shoes, but she was roller skating, so her shoes were actually in a locker. You know, and I told her, if you're going to put diamond-encrusted shoes in a locker, you really ought to get one of the ones that you actually get a key to so that your valuables will be secure. But, you know, she insists on just, oh, these KOL kids, they're honest. They're not going to steal my diamond shoes. Give me the diamond blues, the Neil Diamond blues. Neil Diamond ever sing the blues?
Yeah, he sang the song Sung Blue.
Yeah.
It was one of his songs.
So we went, yeah... So, Zly sustained an injury called a radial head fracture, which then the rumor mill quickly turned into her having hit her head, but then I think it turned back. I guess, I don't know which, I guess your elbow is the head of your radius,
mm-hmm.
So your wrist is its ass.
I just thought she hit her Tom York, actually, I was kind of confused about that.
Yeah, there was a radial head fracture. When I heard that, I said, everything is broken, because that's a Radiohead lyric. Radiohead fracture. I'll tell you what. We did not do the Thursday show on account of that roller skating. Scully went out there and skated around a couple times. Riff, did you skate?
No, I wasn't there.
You didn't even go.
I don't remember why.
He chose to die rather than skate.
Probably I was sleeping instead.
Yeah. Boy.
Or being chased by angry bees.
Angry bees, indeed. Speaking of skater die, I ran into Mike Steffen from high school, who I see.
Wow, that dude's still alive.
I see once a year at con. What do you mean that dude's still alive? He's just some dude. I see him once a year at KOL con, and the first year he left his skateboard at my house, and it's been 3 years, and I still have not managed to get his skateboard back to him. But I asked him this year if I could borrow it. Could I continue to borrow your skateboard for another few months past the end?
I didn't see Mike Steffen.
He was there at Dave and Buster's. I don't know if I saw him on Saturday.
It's entirely possible that I wouldn't recognize him if I were standing right next to him.
That's entirely possible. I ran into him the last time I went up to Prescott, too. Looks like he's doing all right. It was weird, though, because like, he showed up to KOL Con, and I'm like, wait a minute. I recognize you from somewhere, but it's not previous KOL cons or KOL events. I like figured out, wait a minute, You're good old Mike Steffen, right here and now.
You're the guy who got chased through the entire school by the football team.
Oh, yeah?
There was a... I think like in my freshman year, the football team was having just a terrible season. So he did a cartoon for the school newspaper that had, like, a quarterback having been tackled so hard that his back is curved over his head and his feet are kind of resting on the helmet. And the score said you're like 80-0, and then somebody saying maybe you should try cheerleading.
Huh.
So he was chased through the halls of the school and had to hide in one of the teacher's rooms.
That's funny.
Well, yeah, I thought that took some balls.
Mm-hmm. I don't remember there being editorial cartoons in the Prescott High School newspaper.
He had his own little strip that he would do. Hmm. That was the first time I encountered the refrigerator I hardly know her joke.
Okay, I do remember that. Yeah, all right. I do remember him having that comic.
He had that kind of Ralph Steadman style almost.
Hey, Riff, did you have any comics in my high school newspaper?
Unlikely.
I'm making a list of the things that you don't have in common with Mike Steffen.
Did you leave a skateboard at Jick's house?
I never have.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know, man. See, imagining you on a skateboard is just wrong.
I was always vaguely interested in skating, but it was one of those things that I never got around to learning.
Mm-hmm. I don't think you should take it up at this point in your life. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think any of us should. I think
I've already broken one bone.
It's probably pretty stupid for us to roller skate, honestly. Like
the roller skating went okay. And if someone as spastic as I am could pick that back up.
Yeah.
And fairly quickly.
It's like we don't fall down as well as we used to.
Yeah.
You know?
Combining it with the booze, I just declined to do. That seemed like a bad idea.
I had like 2 beers. Mm. You know? Like I didn't want
to... Like combining Saturday night with the booze, though,
Jesus Christ, turned
out to be an incredible idea for almost 12 hours, and suddenly it was less of a good idea.
I would like to take this opportunity to publicly extend an apology to first any ladies who I might have behaved towards in an inappropriate manner, and second to any gentleman that I may have punched for no reason. However, that I punched for a reason, I would like to extend an invitation back so that I could punch them again. Oatgan had actually sent a question into Radio Bugbear asking, why did you punch me for looking like Hogulus? And that is a question that contains the seeds of its own answer. It was perfect. Hogulus walked by, and I punched him and said, goddamn Hogulus, and then that guy walked by, and I'm like, I hit him and said, and that's for looking like Hogulus. It could not have been set up better. That guy did kind of look like Hogulus.
He did.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Then yeah, you should have punched Echo Phantom and said, that's for wearing Hogulus' name tag.
Oh, yeah. You know, I did not recognize... I feel like I met Echo Phantom when he was, like, 16, and I had no idea that that was the same guy.
Until
I saw something where he had said something about getting a bunch of name tags, and I'm like, oh, okay. And it, not only did I not, like, recognize it as the same guy, he seemed like a totally different kind of guy.
Hmm.
It was one of those guys where I always wondered where that kind of guy came from. Like, what's that kind of guy like in high school? And I'm like, oh, okay, maybe he's the kind of guy that, you know. You get these sort of categories of people
in your
head, right? Like, there's like rockabilly dudes, and there's like certain things that all rockabilly dudes have in common, right? And you don't expect people to transition from like, you know. What you don't think is, oh, this guy who's like, you know, got the frosted tips and the pop collar and is, you know, making Facebook videos of himself drunk out at a Scottsdale nightclub. You don't expect to look at pictures of him in high school and he has dreads.
Right.
Like, you know. Anyway, yeah, I don't know. That was a weird scene.
I don't know if I have anything to apologize for at the concert. People thought I was visibly drunk, which I can understand. But I defended myself by saying I was the most sober member of the most sober person on the payroll.
Right.
Who was there?
The pretentious artist wasn't too drunk.
That's true. Just thinking of the end of the evening, like, okay, Zach, what do we need to do to clean up the venue? Oh, shit, man, I don't even know. All right, Kevin, what do we need to do to clean up the venue? Shit, man, I don't even know.
He was just tired. I don't know. Yeah. I don't even know how much he had to do. He cut loose a little bit during the concert, mm-hmm. did some vigorous dancing, or so I hear.
Yeah, and he only eats like 10 calories a day.
That's true, yeah. I don't know. He claims to have eaten a tremendous amount of food during the con, but to have still lost weight. That dude burned a lot of calories this weekend.
We need to give a tremendous shout out to the people who helped us clean the venue.
Yeah, my mom was telling me on the phone how much everybody pitched in. She was like, to the point where they were starting to, like, there were so many people being so nice that they were actually starting to get in each other's way trying to help.
Yeah.
Which, you know, that kind of thing always happens. I was noticing when we were running the LARP, like, whenever there was, like, a messy game, before it could even occur to me to clean it up, one of the players had already done it every single time.
Mm-hmm.
Every single time they cleaned up all of the stuff after themselves, and that was awesome. Like, just the LARP went super well.
I thought it did.
I was hungover for the first, like, I was hungover really badly for prep, but then, you know, an hour of yelling at people about the kinds of things that they could do in this here wizard's laboratory, it at least made me not feel like I was going to throw up anymore.
You looked downright chipper.
Yeah, I don't know. I found myself with a second wind of some sort. Last night was the first opportunity I actually had to get a decent amount of sleep, and I just didn't. I laid in bed at like 10 to start playing video games, and I ended up getting up and just like dicking around for like 3 hours, and then slept from like 12:30 to 6, and just like, I feel like crap.
We went out to the karaoke evening.
I heard that cool. Ended in some crazy bar fights.
Huh.
And Riff wasn't there.
We left at like 1:30, though.
Fights started because people were upset about Last Call, apparently, and there were some furnishings overturned and some glassware hurled around and some heads being smashed through some trellises. Is it a trellis?
Yeah.
It's not a trestle. There were heads being thrust through trestles as Godzilla destroyed the railroad bridge.
Right.
I
hadn't even heard about that.
Nobody was sure whether any of our people were involved or not.
You'd think not.
You would. Yeah.
We tend to be a meek bunch. Yep. There was a decent crowd of people who weren't with us.
Yeah. I wasn't sure what the deal was. Did they book the place, or did they book half of it, or
I think just the table section.
Okay.
Like the bar section was still open to the public, and the outside was.
I don't remember enough
just
about
people
how
couldn't,
that place is laid out.
Outsiders could not karaoke.
Boy,
because
I just
there were like 75 singers for the karaoke. I think he'd got a round and a half in before.
Yeah, Black Lotus. I can never remember his fake name. I can also never remember his real last name. It's Patton, or is it?
It
was Patterson, but it wasn't.
No,
Patterson.
It's Patton.
It was Patton. Patson.
Just call him Branderson Patterson.
Branderson Patton or Patterson. He was saying that he put in a song, and then like 3 hours later, he got to sing it.
Yeah, we pretty much rolled up at 9 and waited until midnight to sing.
He said the karaoke guy was singing a song in between every two.
He wasn't, but he was playing like almost an entire song between every singer.
Oh, okay.
Which is hugely annoying, and I don't know why karaoke hosts do it. Otherwise, he was a perfect host. But and he would let, like, so Fred puts in a song, and then Fred and Bob do a duet, and then Fred, Bob, and Linda do a trio.
I see.
So the same couple of people sang four or five times. And
I see.
That just kind of makes me want to slap a bitch. Not necessarily the host, but the people who keep doing
right.
it. But still, nobody sang Love Shack, so...
Fred seems like a bitch in that story.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Although, before you smack him, I would advise you to change your pitch up a little bit.
Wait, Fred! I'm gonna smack you!
Yep.
Because then they're later like, can you identify this man in a voice lineup? No.
Nope, I can't. That would be the worst crime-solving tool ever.
They do it. They do it on Law and Order.
Yeah, they make you say, I'm going to punch you in the uterus.
I
have to say it
worst,
emphatically, because that's what the person said.
A worst crime-solving tool would be the fingerprint butter instead of the fingerprint powder.
Oh, yeah.
I think that
would be worse.
I think that would be worse.
The fingerprinting steel wool.
Yeah.
I think the worst crime-solving tool would probably be a pair of pliers.
I don't know.
Hmm.
Maybe an awl.
don't know. You could dig into things with an awl. Mm-hmm. I mean, like a magnifying glass, you know? That's an good. Awl kind of mm-hmm. works like a magnifying glass.
It doesn't.
Yeah, I'm going to...
So I'll you get, are the motherfucker setting ants on fire with an awl. How are you even doing that?
Yeah, I don't know. I still want the picture of a baby in a car with a bumper sticker that says, "How am I driving?" So yeah, LARP went well. I would imagine that on Thursday we'll talk more about the LARP. Data Vortex wanted us to do a post-mortem on it. For now, sure. though, Scully, as a person who played through the LARP, how did you feel about it?
I felt like the way it was set up and the content and the props and everything were fantastic. But I wondered how we could move it people through faster.
Yeah, that's what we've been talking about.
Maybe there were too many options in each room, or maybe there were too many adventures per
person.
Yeah. Or what I was thinking though is like, it seems like every person who went into the room, say, and adventured in the summoning circle, got a different result. So there were like what, six or?
There were eight. So there were five zones in each room, mm-hmm. and then there were eight things that could go on in each zone, like in each yeah. prop. Right?
I wonder if you had like four and six.
Well, they were. What it was the on the first day there were only like two things, right? The randomizing mechanisms changed, and so there was a different distribution. Mm-hmm. So like, there were never more than six possibilities in a given day.
Oh, because
okay. It was like on day one it was like 1d2 to determine what you got, and then on day two it was 2d2, and then 3d2, and then 4d2. So, like, you can only get a 1 and 2 on the first game. So what we thought that would do was, I think what we were talking about, the things that we would do differently, and, you know, again, we'll talk about this more on Thursday when we can get Nightmare on the mic and almost everyone, except Jamelli, who ran one of the rooms for us, did a phenomenal job.
Yeah,
that guy is as valuable a member of the LARP crew as he is a member of the dev team, and I'm not doing that as like an insulting thing. Like, you know, Mr. Skullhead, you're as brilliant as you are handsome.
Oh.
Nightmare is as useful as he is fat.
Dang.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah.
You're as generously endowed as you are bald.
Oh. Hey.
I was going to say you're as generously endowed as you are her suit, but then your comeback to that would have just been, thanks.
Yeah. Likewise, I think would be
Yeah, the only thing that I noticed, well, the two things were the time it took to get through and the distribution. Like, we fought the same monster a couple of times. Like,
yeah.
Maybe if we struck out the encounter, like, removed that from
yeah,
the
possibility. Yeah, we were talking about, like, the my main goals were making it move faster and affording people more control over what they were doing so that they could, you know, there were a lot of people who, like, wanted food and just didn't end up getting any food, so they mm-hmm. got, you know, like, it was funny, Mr. Mag and Cirrus and Lucifer ended up playing almost no turns because they got, like, no food the entire time, and so both of their days, 3 and 4, they spent their initial allotment of 2 adventures, and that was it. So we gave them speed ascender trophies for getting through their run with the fewest turns played. But I think that with some tweaking we can make it go faster. We're also, you know, we were going faster towards the end than we did in the beginning because we'd gotten more used to it, but the further we got into it, the more adventures people were able to spend. But, you know, I think limiting the amount of food and booze that you get a little more.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, you know, like,
part of it is just familiarity with the whole process.
Yeah.
I think. But I do think you could maybe strike one of the sub-zones from each zone.
Yeah, you think?
And still, although I'm not sure what difference that would make.
Yeah, I mean, because you can still, the thing is, you want each person to be able to do enough stuff that is actually entertaining, and you want, you know, you kind of have to have one person doing something at a time.
Yeah.
Like, there are group... We had initially tossed around the idea of having group activities that every person had to spend an adventure for, you know, but we just didn't really end up doing it.
Yeah.
That would be something that would dramatically speed up what was going on in the room, and everybody would still get to participate in stuff. But, like, an interesting three-person adventure, I feel like, takes as long as three interesting one-person adventures.
Right.
In a lot of ways. Or else it's not interesting.
I mean, the other thing to do would be to run two instances of the thing simultaneously.
The same room, yeah. That's what, I mean, there would have been basically zero downtime. I mean, you know, it would have been trivial to do it in half the time that it took us. It took a lot longer than we were hoping that it would. We had very much tried to convince ourselves that it was going to be 10 minutes per team per room, and it ended up being half an hour per team per room.
Yeah.
Even on the first day when they weren't spending all that many adventures. But, yeah, I don't know. I think fundamentally we did a reasonable job of... It's fucking amazing that work managed to get done in the amount of time that we ended up giving ourselves to do it.
Yeah, the level of complexity I thought was really impressive. And realizing I didn't see half of the stuff.
Yeah, that's the other thing. I mean,
looking at all of the props and things that were hanging out.
Anybody that wanted to just do it again could go through the rooms in a different order and probably not see the same thing twice. Not see anything that they had already seen. But yeah, you know, looking at the ones that ended up being especially time-consuming and maybe, you know, simplifying them a little bit and, like, just making the randomizer mechanisms a little less interactive so that could be a little snappier. Mm. Stupid pulling felt rabbits out of stupid hat. It was terrible. Yeah. We could have just flipped coins. Or we could make, you know, everybody liked spinning the wheel of fortune in the carnival zone, so maybe we, you know, figure out some way to do something that's fun and that they can do without...
Gaze into the crystal ball and spin this disc.
Yeah.
That's at the bottom of the crystal ball.
Yep. Or, you know, just have... Yeah.
We started out with plastic skeletons to throw on the ground in the cemetery, but they bounced funny and almost never landed face down, so I ended up using my iPhone. I've got like
Your dice program. Yeah, because you could just do 42.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
We were also talking about if somebody got an encounter that they had gotten before. I don't know if I remember if I said this or not. If somebody got an encounter that they had gotten already in the room, that they could choose to either do that or move on to the next one in the list.
Yeah.
Just to progress people through a little bit.
Just to let them see more stuff, because everything that I did was really fun. So the ability to see more things.
The hard fights, I think, were a little too hard. The too small of targets, too many people who just weren't any good at throwing darts at all. So it was like, all right, we by the time we actually play tested the combat, we had been throwing darts at our practice board just fucking around for 3 weeks, and so we'd all gotten a little better at throwing those particular darts at these particular targets.
These motherfucking darts at these motherfucking targets.
I'm tired of all these motherfucking darts and these motherfucking 4x8 or 2x4 pieces of acoustical tiling. That guy at Home Depot that suggested that we use acoustical tiling as dartboards. I want to thank that guy,
because
that was a good idea. And the fact that we were at a place that had hundreds of easels that we could use was also handy. The first backdrops that the pretentious artist got to put behind the dartboards were these flimsy plastic things that the darts just flew right through if you missed the dartboard. I went to demonstrate that by hurling a few darts through one into a cabinet behind it, and ended up losing one of the darts in somebody's artworks.
Oh.
Yeah, they're going to find that.
I hope they incorporated it into their artwork.
Mr. Skullhead had said something, you said something about having unicorns at Con next year.
Well, because I said we should go for a whole week and was trying to acknowledge the ridiculosity of that statement.
Right. Yeah. I was sad to miss karaoke, but I was still just, my stomach was totally turned by the prospect of drinking, and my stomach was equally turned by the prospect of being at a karaoke bar without being drunk. So that just wasn't...
I was able to have beers yesterday.
Yeah.
By the end of the day. The beginning of my day was... your Twitter was describing exactly what I was going through. We were discussing, though, at the bar whether it would be the would-you-rather sweat, vomit, or vomit, sweat.
Yes.
And wow. I just thought for the flavor alone, I think I would rather just be sweating, vomit, and stand in the shower until you're done.
Shower until it was over, Although if it was your own sweat, I mean, I guess it's
less
not,
it
like,
became, well, yeah.
If I get a drop of my sweat in my mouth, I'm not like, ooh, gross, the way I would if I got like some of my piss in my mouth. You know, like, maybe I would rather have sweat in my mouth than vomit. I don't know. If I had to lick something off of someone else, I think I would definitely rather it be sweat than vomit.
Probably.
Like, licking vomit off of a dog's balls seems worse than licking sweat off a dog's balls. Jellobois applauds both of those decisions, by the way, via Twitter, the decision to make Khan a weak and the decision to have unicorns. Although, I insist that they be referred to as unihorns. Sathan asks if we're both recovered enough from hangovers to actually host a show. No, that's why we had Riff on, because we knew he'd carry us if we weren't feeling well enough.
Yep.
What?
Oh, did you forget that you were on the radio?
I forgot to pay attention again.
We can always put Oliver on.
Oliver what?
Oliver.
I still think you should have made his middle name Clothes Come Off It. Because that's funny. That's a cool name, Clothes Come Off It.
Yeah.
Because if you said, what's your middle name? Clothes Come Off It. Like, wow, that's
exotic. Is that
exotic.
German? Yeah.
Rex Maxis asks for an account menu option that lets us win automatically. Auto ascend, no skill, no ascension record. That is not... That's sort of like a start over button instead of an ascend button.
Yeah.
Which, you know... I can imagine a time in the future when somebody could actually talk me into that. Because, like, I feel like people come back after not playing for a lot of months and they think... God, you know, I wish that I could just start over with this character. And it's like, you can if you play through to the end and ascend, but, like, coming back and being totally lost, I can see why somebody would want the ability to do that. Because with our game, it's not... I feel like a lot of games, a lot of MMOs especially, you can come back in, and it doesn't really matter what you were doing, because all the stuff that you were doing is kind of the same as everything else that you've been doing the entire time, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, you just look at your quest log, and it says, kill 10 rats, you know? You know that you need to kill 10 rats, and you either find them and kill them, or you... eliminate that quest and go somewhere else. Okay, well, you can't really do that, right? Because there's a lot going on in each of the little bits of it. I don't know. Rex Maxis says, it can be used for times when somebody rolls a class that just sucks. There aren't any classes that just suck.
Yeah, all our classes are awesome.
Yeah.
Calculus.
Okay, fine. I was glad that my Homung Calculus joke got seen so many times.
Just the you can't spell homunculus without mucus got me. That tickled my funny bone.
I'm glad that Riff got to deliver the grave digger who referred to his shovel as a turner and wanted to know.
Yes.
You had to tell him what he referred to his bottle of booze as, because in his one hand he's got his turner and in his other hand he's got his.
Yeah.
And that was the puzzle to solve to get the grave diggers.
That was a fun one. I also was very pleased that that one of the ghosts moans about how he got or how he was hung, and it turns out he just had an enormous package.
Yeah, you heard I was hung. I was kind of pleased with the, and I imagine that this was fun to do too. If the crowd was funny enough, right? You find a bag of food from Evil Taco Bell. And you have to describe something that an evil Taco Bell.
We gave a trophy to Invariel for the Chalupa Cabra.
Mm.
And also for being so tall that he broke the game on one of Nightmare's challenges that involved throwing a bunch of balls from one bucket to another.
Mm.
He just reached over and poured them in instead of throwing it. Evil Moxie says there should always be unicorns. Chimp says, I'm sure you'll cover this, but best KOL Con memory? I think I erased all of my KOL Con memories on Saturday night. I enjoyed the LARP. I enjoyed running the LARP.
I've got to say the costume contest actually turned out super well. 5-4 in drag.
Yeah, yeah. And I, you know...
And sexy, sexy glebes.
God.
Both of us were at the drunk that we just kept going, say, aw.
I don't know, man. You were definitely like that.
You were like, say.
I knew.
Oh, wait, that's Glebes. Say.
James Leffler says, best argument against legalizing weed? I say keeping from kids. We're failing at that for booze and cigs. DUI testing issues also? Huh? I don't know what that last part was all about.
That's true that no children smoke marijuana now, and they all would if it were legal. Actually, neither of those things are true.
Yeah,
which kind of shoots that argument directly to the ground. Where did that come from?
The Tweetar. Psychosis730 says, I was at a wedding in Boston this weekend, and the ceremony totally got Godwin's Lawed. By the priest, no less.
You know who else got married?
Did Hitler ever get married? I don't think Hitler ever married.
Yeah. Well, if Eddie Izzard's correct, he died on his honeymoon.
Oh. I see. Death by Latin says, unicorns are the bomb, just saying. Any convention with a unicorn would automatically be stellar. Paul BD says, name one famous person who you do not want to ever play KOL. Bill O'Reilly.
Probably. Andy Dick.
I don't know. I think Andy Dick might like it. Bring something special to the chat.
I wonder how quickly he would get banned.
I don't know. Quink says, sorry this isn't about the game, but do you recommend movies to people regardless of their tastes? That is to say that everyone should watch them, certain movies. I mean, I feel like there are movies... I would recommend that anyone watch 12 Monkeys, no matter whether I felt like they liked movies like that or not, because they should. So, I don't know. I mean, I certainly would not... I would not have probably recommended, like, The Hangover to you, Mr. Skullhead, knowing that I have a predilection for goofy comedies that you frequently do not share. Right?
Only when they star Chris Farley, really.
Only when they star Chris Farley?
Or Tom Green.
Okay. The Tom Green thing is the one that...
Total douchebag comedy is not my cup of meat.
Do you not get anything out of Jackass?
No.
Just nothing at all?
Nothing.
Okay.
Not even Schadenfreude. Huh. I'm not sure what Schadenfreude means in that context, but I don't get it. The only thing that I would be wary of, just because I have to recommend entertainment to my parents, is if somebody's going to be offended by something, I probably wouldn't. Like, Almost Famous, I thought was an incredible movie, but I wouldn't recommend it to my parents, because there'd be stuff in there that they wouldn't enjoy seeing.
Like boobs?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that my mom would enjoy seeing. I'm sure my dad, he's only a man.
I don't know. It's hard for me to imagine your dad enjoying boobs. Sorry. I mean, you had to get it from somewhere. Paul BD also says, have you ever seen the movie Krull? And if you did, what did you think of it? Why, I think Krull is the kind of movie that I would recommend to anyone, anywhere, no matter what they liked or didn't like. I liked Krull when I was a kid. I don't actually remember that much about it. I remember certain scenes, right?
I remember the glaive.
Yeah, reaching into lava and pulling off the crust-encrusted glaive and the crust falling off of it and it being all shiny. I remember the Cyclops getting, like, crushed in that closing gate. I remember the castle that was in a different place every day, so they had to go. Mm-hmm. That guy...
It ends with the spider web, right?
It doesn't end with that. One of the guys... Like, I feel like there's this, like... They put together a party, and then the party makes all these sacrifices, right? And the sacrifice that the old man had to make was that he had to go because he was friends with the Widow in the Web back in the day before she became the Widow in the Web, and then he ended up... She was the only one who could predict where the castle was going to be on the left. Maybe I do remember a lot about this movie.
Yeah, indeed.
He was like, it will rise again tomorrow in the Iron Desert. Mm-hmm. But then I feel like he ends up dying after he gets out of there, but he makes it back out to tell them before the spider gets him, and then she dies, the whole thing collapses. But then they find it, and they climb up it and go into the thing. So the Cyclops had traded his... The race of Cyclops had traded one of their eyes in exchange for the ability to see the future, but all they could see was their own death. That was the only future that they were actually aware of. And so the Cyclops leaves the party at one point because he's like, no, I can't go with you because this is the day that I have to die. Like, it's just, I've always known that. But then he's like waiting in the swamp to die and then changes his mind and runs up to die in battle with them and to let them into the castle.
You remember a hell of a lot about Carl.
And then, was Pete Postlethwaite... Was Pete Postlethwaite in Krull? It was either Pete Postlethwaite or a guy that looked like Pete Postlethwaite. I think he's like younger. I remember some like wooden spikes coming out of a wall and stabbing some dudes. I remember that sage that was actually the evil wizard that his fingernails go out. Okay, I don't know why I felt like I didn't remember anything about Krull, because...
I may have to watch this again. Liam Neeson and Robbie Coltrane are both in it.
I knew that Liam Neeson was in it. I think maybe I'm thinking about... Who's Freddie Jones? There's a guy that looked like Pete Postlethwaite, but maybe it wasn't. A guy named Dickon Ashworth. Totally not. I would not ever... tell anyone my name if my name was Dickon. Well, that Ken Marshall, he was a real star. He had leading man written all over him.
What would you suppose a Dickon Ash would be worth?
I don't know.
If it was like an art project.
Yeah, if you actually carved a penis out of an ash tree. Mm. The size of an entire... I don't know how big an ash tree is.
Well, probably big enough to carve a penis out of.
Maybe big enough to carve your penis out.
Oh, damn,
stepped on
too sad.
Cyber34 says, can you guys put up the images for last year's KOL calendar somewhere? Not the current year's, though, to not lose any buying incentive. I feel like October is enough buying disincentive for a calendar that nothing we did would compare
to
it.
There were a couple of people buying them at at the concert.
I guess people might want them just for the arts.
Yeah. Because
you could frame those. They are suitable for framing. Theoretically, the new one will be available sometime before December of next year.
Did they go to the printer?
I don't know. I think the ball got lobbed into Zly's court, and then Con happened, so... Who friggin' knows? Disco Dora says, the amount of work that went into the LARP was completely appreciated. Maybe duplicating the rooms would speed it up enough. That it might.
That would theoretically half the time that it takes.
Casey Wiederman.
I feel like we could have gotten four more people to do it. And it seems like you could
We'd have to make four more sets of props, but I mean, that's...
It seems like you could run the same LARP for a couple, 3 years.
Yeah, we probably
Maybe
could.
Maybe rotate some content in and out, but keep that same basic structure.
Yeah, we'd alter it a little bit. We kind of wanted there to be more stuff going on out in the common area, and we didn't... that was sort of the last thing. We also wanted some, I feel like having some quests to do, one way or another. Either some stuff where adventuring in one zone, I feel like people really wanted, a couple of groups came in and they were like, oh, should we adventure in the summoning circle? Well, maybe we should check out the bookshelf first in case we get a book that tells us how to summon something better at the summoning circle. And, there could have been some of that, right? And there would have been if we'd had more time to mess with it.
Right.
But it was so hard to do stuff on purpose that, Yeah, Bob the Joker won the costume contest. I did not get it. I did not like her costume until it was explained to me what it was, and then it suddenly became clear the genius of it.
What was it?
She was a speed ascender. She seemed dressed like a weird V for Vendetta nun, but had the spooky miter, the V for Vivala mask, and was carrying a hockey stick on her back and a sickle and just a bunch of the carnivore button. The pilgrim shield.
Yeah.
The carnivore button, No, it was a cool costume.
I, at first, just thought it was a collection of items from the game, which I always enjoy seeing. But then, I apologize to Club for the KWE wrestlers being what they are. Watching a guy dress up as Voldo, he did it amazingly well.
That it was in Varial that it was Voldo, right?
Yeah,
yeah. That was I and his. I didn't get his costume until I suddenly saw the rest of that. I also didn't know that Gleebs was supposed to be one of the wrestlers. I thought he was just Gleebs in a dress. Hey, look at me! I'm dressed as Gleebs in a dress. Yeah, okay.
I think the next con I'm going to come as Gleebs in a dress, or on Gleebs. Never mind.
Fred Levi says, "I just got an iPod Touch. I can see what you mean about the spinning wheels for the alarms. Kind of cumbersome to set the minutes. Yeah." I mostly ended up using the stopwatch for everything that I did. My iPod stopwatch for everything that required timing at the LARP. Having some hourglasses at various intervals would be kind of cool just as props, But Chrysalin says, the LARP was really well done. Your IRL game design skills match your online ones. It was really quite clever, and I enjoyed the fuck out of playing it. Well, thank you.
It really did feel like walking into the game. Just those few props.
I feel like
made it completely immersive.
I feel like there were a lot of people at Con who would have really enjoyed the LARP, but didn't sign up for it because it was called a LARP.
Mm.
You know, we need a better name for it, real KOL or KOL IRL is what somebody has suggested, because it's not really a LARP. You know, people weren't really. It was certainly not a faggy White Wolf LARP, it was...
Nobody was really playing characters.
Yeah.
Except Nightmare. Although Nightmare is just like that.
He is, yeah. He is. He's kind of like a carny, just day-to-day.
I thought, wow, he's really got that overly loud carnival voice going, and then at the karaoke he came up and said, hey guys, how are you doing? I'm like, oh, never mind, You're just a, you're a loud bastard.
Humba. King Stupid says, Lego-themed area? Dungeon? I know Jick and Riff loves them some Legos. That is the truth. I don't know. You know, it, like, we've had ideas every once in a while. I think that's the kind of thing that might work its way into, like, a Librem at some point. In fact, I think in our brainstorming a whole bunch of items of the month thread, I actually explicitly suggested a Librem of, something that is definitely not close enough to Legos to get us sued for. Exactly. You're not supposed to call them Legos. They're really trying to stop that from happening. They're Lego brand bricks.
Right.
Good luck with that.
And everything else is construction bricks. Like, I don't Photoshop anything. I use photo editing software.
Yeah. That's all the Tweetar questions. Meat and Syrup says, could you hire Discworldian to co-host your show? Her voice is much nicer than yours. We read that before. Whoever that's addressed at, screw you, Meat and Syrup. My voice is lovely. I cannot decide whether my tones are more lilting or dulcet.
I was going to say mellifluous.
Mellifluous?
Yeah. Mellifluous.
Yeah. Never use two syllables when four is four.
It's true. Gleeb says, people hate Kanye West. Just open up google.com and type Kanye West is a and look at the suggestions. I'm going to do that. First, I'm going to type google.com. Kanye West is a douche, idiot, douchebag, racist, crazy nigga, genius, crazy nigga video, tool fag joke. Tool fag joke. I wonder if they ever made any tool fag jokes on Home Improvement. Like if Binford hired a dude to be their tool model instead of a lady in a swimsuit. Do you suppose that some ladies are just in swimsuits all the time?
I like to think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Probably in L.A.
Yeah. Or in sororities.
Yeah.
Let's see. We got through some of these. Jowlin says, did you see that Intuit, the people who made the POS Quicken, bought Mint.com, which hasn't made money yet, for $170 million today? Mint.com seems to be like some kind of online thing that's like Quicken. I don't know. Hot Stuff uses Quicken to keep track of all of his money, and I make fun of him for having to write down every single thing that he ever does.
Mm. That's kind of the... It seems to me that would be the same thing as keeping track of everything I eat and the calories in it. Like, there may be some benefit in there, but I really don't want to know.
Yeah.
I don't want to know where every penny of my money goes as long as there's enough money to cover everything.
Right. And I don't want to know where... I don't want to know where... all of the calories worth of frosting that I smear on my body come from, as long as there's enough to cover everything.
Yeah.
What would be funny is if the Inuit bought Mint.com, which is how that's what I thought that said. To
well, then they would just use it to sell mint-flavored whale blubber.
Ew.
RDFM says, hey guys, love the show. Shouldn't spooky putty monsters get progressively smudgier as you fight subsequent copies of the same monster? Yeah, yeah, we should write versions of every monster that are like the guys in Primer as they get further and further away from their natural timeline where they start writing as though they're writing with their left hands. Minty Giant says, most shelters require to leave during the day. You're supposed to be out looking for work, I think. I mean, we must have been talking about homeless shelters at some point.
Yeah, we were talking about...
Why do homeless people ride the bus? Where do they have to go? Oh, let's see. Watertail says, hey guys, I won a can of Red Bull at a Smash tournament last weekend. Wow. Fuck that whole thing.
I thought you weren't as violently opposed to Red Bull as I am.
No, I am. I despise the shit. Mm-hmm. It tastes like gum that's been in somebody's ass.
I know, but do you have a problem with other people drinking it? Because
I kind of do.
When
like,
somebody orders like a Red Bull and vodka, and it's somebody who I'm supposed to like and respect, I can't let it go without commenting.
Yeah.
At least say, wow, what sorority were you in?
Especially
when it's dudes.
Aaron from the Mini Bosses drinks a ton of Red Bull and vodka, and it's like... some people just like that speedball kind of thing, you know? And it's like, it's weird. I can see how you would like it, because like, when I was working the job that I had before KOL, like one night every 2 weeks, I had to work all night. like I just picked up I got an extra day off and picked up a shift of doing this like nightly processing that had to get done, and it required almost no intervention. It basically just needed somebody to be conscious and making sure that these things were running. So I took to just drinking a lot of like whiskey and coffee in equal parts, because then I was able to be drunk. I got a ton of work done on KOL when I was doing that. So just whiskey and coffee, and it was weird, because it was like, all right, I'm drunk, but I'm not tired, right? And so I can see how you would get into that. It was so sort of like unreal and terrifying when I did it, though, that I would not have ever wanted to do that kind of thing in public. Mm. Like, I don't know, man. I feel like just beer and whiskey is kind of enough for booze, right? Like. Mm. A gin and tonic every once in a while, but even that, like, is just getting... That's a little too fruity for me at this point. Like, it's like...
You know, I tend to enjoy the gins and tonics.
I agree. And
I just don't get why, like, before the Red Bull vodka happened, grown-ass men, if they wanted to have caffeine with their drink, they'd have an Irish coffee or a rum and coke or something. And essentially, that's what Red Bull is. It's sugar and caffeine.
Yeah.
And hippie crap that doesn't actually do anything.
My main problem with other people drinking Red Bull around me is that it smells so awful, and you can smell it from, like, 30 feet away.
That's true, too.
Like, it just... it's nauseating. Glebe says, Scully hates Michael Cera because he hasn't watched Arrested Development. Stop not watching that show. You really do need...
Yeah, I know, but I have a lot of TV to watch before then.
Well, no. I don't... If you're sorting by importance, then you're wrong.
I gotta finish Weeds.
Oh. So do I. I got a bunch of seasons of that for my birthday, and I've not yet gotten around to watching them. I watched the first two seasons when they were streaming on Netflix while I was in New York.
Yeah, I've acquired the fourth season.
Yeah.
Legitimately.
God, that show is good.
I'm going through it.
Oh, I legitimately acquired the first season of Mad Men. Pretty pleased with that show. Let's see what else is going on there. We're in the process of it does not work yet, but I'm in the process of getting a voicemail box set up for taking calls for the show. And I actually got the phone number Mad KOL Taint. I knew you'd be happy about that. Because the local area code would spell out MAD, and then they had a whole bunch of numbers that started with KOL, but the only thing that I could make that was even a legitimate four-letter word was to add an extra letter at the end for taint. But
right.
I almost got MAD KOL Turd, but then I was like, that's not quite funny enough to have to say the word turd all the time.
Right.
But somebody else took that number while I was in the middle of signing up for the thing.
So you figured you better do it quickly.
Yeah, no. so yeah, pretty soon, maybe, and I got held up on a. Thank you to Data Vortex, by the way, for hooking me up with that Google Voice invite. I gotta finish setting it up so that I can actually get the voicemail. I didn't know that you had to associate it with a real number, and then I was like, I don't really know what I want to do with that, because I don't want to put it on the office number and have that phone be ringing all the time when I put out the call for calls to it, and I don't want to put it on my number. But then he told me that you can associate it with a number, but then not ever have it ring through. You just have it always go to voicemail. So now I just have to do the 3 minutes of work that it is to do that. And you can just get the voicemails off as MP3s, so I can just drag them straight into Sam and play them, and then we can talk about them, and that... I think that'll be cool, actually.
Yeah, I think that's going to be really fun.
Missing No says, so what do you think of Scribblenauts? Have you played Scribblenauts yet, Mr. Skullhead?
I have Scribblenaut.
No. What do you think of it, Riff?
I played it some. It was, I don't know, it's kind of entertaining for a while.
Yeah.
I am probably not going to end up finishing it.
Yeah, I spent maybe 15 minutes on it. I would describe what I have done as playing with it rather than playing it.
Yeah.
You know?
And also the new Mario and Luigi came out.
Yeah. So. When I've had my DS in my hand, it has been Mario and Luigi.
Yeah.
That, I just got to the part where you get the ability as Bowser to inhale stuff and then have Mario and Luigi fight it inside like that. And I was like, oh, okay, wow, that's pretty cool.
It's such a good game.
I do feel like I'm a little bit lacking in a sense of purpose playing. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, arguably I know what's going on, right? But, like, not having a thing in front of me that gives me some idea of how much game there is and how well I'm doing it, getting it taken care of, you know?
One will appear.
Does it?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Because I feel like, you know, the Zelda games, you had some idea of the scope because they would tell you from the very beginning how many dungeons there were, right?
Yeah.
And so you just like, kind of had a sense of how you were progressing. And yeah, I don't know. I'm enjoying it. I play it for half hour, 45 minutes at a time before I get bored and go to something else.
I was interested to see just the review and reaction cycle for Scribblenauts.
Yeah.
Because it was, when it was premiering at various shows around the country, the hype was just building and building and building. It's like, oh my god, we played Scribblenauts. This is brilliant. Here's 5 minutes of Scribblenauts. Here's 10 minutes of Scribblenauts. Holy shit, this is going to be awesome. And then as soon as it came out, the reviews are, well, it's interesting that you can type words in and then they show up. But I guess like the gameplay is something that doesn't work in more than the 5 minute interval.
A little burst. I mean,
once you figure out, like, having it demonstrate, look, you can summon God and Cthulhu and Jesus, and that's really exciting and interesting. But then I guess it's rarely ever germane to the game to do shit like that.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like every level is trivial to solve, basically, because, you know, you can do whatever. One thing that I do find kind of interesting is the challenge mode. Like, you can get, you solve a level, you've got whatever goal, and it gives you, like, a silver star. But then finding three different ways to solve the level without reusing any of the same objects is, you have to do that to get a gold star. Mm-hmm. And some of them, I feel like it might be kind of challenging to do that. Although, I've learned that it was like trying to figure out a third way to get really high up in the air, because I was like, I can get a trampoline, and get a spring, but you can also ask for wings, or a helicopter, or, you know, like, I think you just want.
Some weed.
I really wish that the graphics were 2D. Like, I wish it was just sprites, instead of sprites in a horrible Mode 7-style rotation context. I understand you probably just couldn't do it that way, but like, you summon an object and it looks great until you start interacting with it and it goes off of either straight up and down or straight left and right, and the pixel art just looks like shit. You know, like, it is very difficult a lot of the time for me to tell what the fuck is going on if there's more than a couple things on the screen, and there are always more than a couple things on the screen.
The controls for moving around are also really poor.
Yeah, I really, like, I don't really understand why you couldn't just move with the D-pad.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, totally.
And, like, I guess they want, you know, the D-pad is for moving the camera around, right? But, like, whatever. I don't know. Even just, like, up to jump on the D-pad would have made it so much better, and when you want to move the camera around, you could use the buttons, right?
Yep.
Like, yes. Yeah. It was frustrating. I don't know. I might pick it up again. You know, I might try and at least look at all the levels to see what it is. I like giving a kid a tire iron to hit a pinata with, and killing a piranha with a tennis racket. Because I asked for a harpoon, and it gave me like a harpoon missile,
huh.
And I couldn't figure out how to use it. I didn't really try. Let's see. Glebe says, by the time you read this, I'll be in Arizona for Con. I can't believe I've done this 4 times now. Can't wait to see you guys. And you girls out there. I can't wait to see you guy, Glebe, as a girl out here. Really, I can. I could wait the whole rest of my life to see Glebe's in a dress again, and I'd still be fine.
Yeah. I think he was just trying to get a Section 8 out of KOL.
Catch 22, though. Disco Boy says, have you ever thought about adding optional level 13 plus council quests to bridge the gap between Ascension and Aftercore content? Adding those quests could allow new kinds of Mr. Store familiars that are sombrero-esque for high-level ascending, with ascending in quotes. I definitely want to put some stuff in. The next clan dungeon that we're thinking about doing, I think I might target at the like level 13, 14, 15 range, and have rewards that were designed to help you kind of power level through that part of the game. And I think that's definitely a gap that some people would appreciate us filling in. You know, I wouldn't want that content to be like exclusively multiplayer stuff, though. So, you know, I've got some stuff that I have been pseudo excited about for a long time that, you know, could crank out a lot of relatively simple content in a lot of different in a lot of zones. But I don't know, you know, we got a bunch of things on our plates. for the rest of this year already. Adiabatic says, have you guys considered getting or at least squatting on an identi.ca account? It's a lot like Twitter, but doesn't have the same downtime issues, since KOL is one of the most fun things to do in Linux with your pants on. You might be able to pick up some users there. Identi.ca is populated mostly by floss geeks. What's the...
People who are just really into dental hygiene?
Yeah. So it's got to be like open source software, but what's the F? The Linux...
Fucking
Linux and open source software geeks. He suggested squatting because there's no way on Identica to change your name, so you might want to grab ASIM while it's still available. Somebody else will get it now that I've said that. Linguini Lad says, hey, Jake, I ordered the documentary and I can't wait to see it. Do you know how long they usually take to come in the mail? I ordered it on the 31st of August. It depends on whether it has actually gone out or not. The orders got backed up because of con stuff.
And there was that black hole.
That black hole was from prior to the 31st of August, okay. Though, so that should not have done it. Kamikaze Pirate says, don't know if you guys watch The IT Crowd, streamable on Netflix, but I just saw one of your coffee cups in Season 3, Episode 1. Yeah, the pretentious artist saw a call on Boing Boing for people to send in, like, nerd stuff for them to use as props, and he was just on the ball. Like, he grabbed a bunch of our stuff and a bunch of his stuff and sent it to them, and, like, the first episode that they could have used it, they totally did. The guy was totally holding the coffee pixie mug. It's fucking awesome.
I'm still reeling at seeing one of the pretentious artist shirts on that dating reality show.
Oh, yeah.
It's called Cheaters or something.
It's the name of it was just some terrible pun. Why can't I remember it? Ah, this is driving me nuts. Love Stings. Love Stings. Yeah. Something detective or something. Let's take Un Breco de Musica.
All right. Oh, Sex Decoy Love Stings.
Sex Decoy Love Stings. Okay. God, that's terrible.
That sounds like a band and their first album name.
All right. We'll see you in 13 or 14 minutes. you guys do anything exciting during the break?
No, not really.
I went to the bathroom.
Oh, was it exciting?
Apparently, I was also William Shatner and went to the bathroom. The proliferation of calendars in there is really stunning.
They're multiplying. I gotta go on a trip that requires me to go to the airport at a time when Maxim and Stuff and FHM all have their attractive lady calendars in their... Unless they just don't do that anymore.
Aren't two out of three of those magazines not even extant anymore?
Oh, maybe they're not.
Yeah. You should get the Nerdcore calendar that...
I don't
Spec has. Or do you not want to put like out and out nudity?
Yeah, I don't really. I mean, I'm going for the like garage walls of my childhood effect, not the like kind of skeezy like uncle's house effect, right? Like occasional JD says, if you ever decide to split up Seaside Town, you should make a dwarven town in the mountains based off of Twin Peaks. Why would the dwarf town be based off of Twin Peaks?
Yeah, like I don't Twin Molehills would
we could
be
do Twin dwarf. Peaks Village. You know, they just okay. There was a midget in Twin Peaks.
Yeah,
right? Our dwarves are tall.
That's true.
Our elves are short.
Well, there was also a giant, except he was only like 7 feet tall.
That's how tall our dwarves are.
So there you go.
Because that was the only funny thing we could think of to do with a dwarf. And we didn't, we just didn't discuss the fact that it wasn't really that funny.
Yeah.
It was the funniest thing we could think of to do.
Psychosis730 says, one online game you might find interesting is Pardus. It's a very PvP and trade-oriented space game. Look it up. I don't want to play browser-based EVE Online. Chupa Thingy193 says, hey, Jake, we ever going to get a KOL app for the iPhone? Seems like the iPhone has been out for too long for us to not be able to have the kingdom at our fingertips. I mean, you can play it in Safari on the iPhone.
Kind of.
Yeah. I don't know. Like,
I mean, it's possible, but you wouldn't want to do it.
Yeah, I don't know what to do. Like, I don't know philosophically whether it is worth a lot of our time and energy to develop something for the iPhone, right? We could probably get a million extra people playing KOL if we put out an iPhone front end to KOL and just like had it set up as though it were a game that you could play on the iPhone, right? But like KOL would suck on the iPhone.
Kevin is good friends with those people that put out those two games that are really popular. I mean, we could conceivably ask them to do it and tell them to put it up for 99 cents and they can keep whatever money it makes.
Yeah.
And then we just get a million new players.
We'd still have to design it, is the thing. I mean, and I don't know if we can handle a million new players, you know? And I don't know that it would even work. Like, the thing is, I feel like it would be pretty difficult to present the existing content of KOL in a compelling way on the iPhone.
Think so?
I feel like what I think, if we were going to do something, what I feel like ought to be done is a very simplified version of KOL. Where you can only fight certain monsters, you can only get certain drops, the quests are not actually tied to game quests, just some kill quests and some collection quests using the content of the game, and your character gets those stats and stuff, so you can log on to KOL and play it with your character, right? So it's not like it's completely... Just have it say, like, look, if you want more of this... come play online, you know? But then people are going to want to be able to go back to the phone and do the stuff that they're doing on their characters, right? And so it's like, it's just, I don't feel like KOL works in that form factor. That's my main thing.
Yeah, but whether or not it does, I think it's more for the existing player base than to expand the player base, really.
Yeah.
So, I mean, people want to play it on the iPhone, and people are doing it now, even though it's kind of hard.
Yeah, it's...
It depends on the amount of work that it would be.
Right.
And I don't know
how much
work that is.
You know, it would create a lot of work moving forward, right? Like, if we set up... It would just basically be like a browser that was designed to play KOL in. And I just don't know how well it would work, right? Like, I don't know. We are of many minds on how that would look and what it would consist of and whether it's feasible or not. I just don't know, you know. Eventually, the browsers will be good enough on handheld devices that you can play it, right?
But if you're a designer of iPhone apps and you have a compelling solution for us, let us know.
I mean, like, I feel like if somebody could draw a mock-up of what playing KOL on the iPhone might look like in a way that I could actually imagine, oh yeah, okay, that would work, you know? I mean, we would have to do stuff like, you know, alter the fight script so that it showed your hit points and stuff on that page. Otherwise, there's no way, you know, or we do like a tiny version of the character pane in a little top bar on the app or something. You know,
the character pane could slide in and out on a tab.
Yeah, but I mean, I feel like fighting and having to hit a button to check your hit points is just super cumbersome.
Well, I mean, it would be pretty easy to have a hit point HPMP readout somewhere in the corner of the screen.
Yeah, I mean, it would. I mean, it's just, but it's just like, that is just like a fundamental thing that, you know, it's like, the game is just not designed to work like that. It's not designed to work outside of frames, basically. Right. And so it's like, I don't know. You know, maybe somebody will have a clever idea. D. Melidi says, we have these whiteboards that print at my work. You need these. Then links to them. In like the, maybe like 98 or 99, worked at a place that had a whiteboard that was hooked up to like a serial port on a computer that would store copies of what you were writing. It was just like a pressure sensitive tablet, and it was kind of awful because you basically, when you picked up an eraser, you had to hit the I'm erasing shit now button on the side of the thing and then do that. And when you changed colors of pen, you had to hit a color button so that the computer would know you were drawing with a different color.
That was how it worked at my school. It wasn't really a whiteboard so much as a touchscreen, a gigantic touchscreen that the computer would project its image onto.
Oh, this wasn't a projector. This actually had a whiteboard that you physically wrote with markers on.
Oh, okay.
And they would appear on the computer, on the screen of a computer. That was next to, and then you'd have a print. There was a print button that you would hit, and
seems
it would send
like
a
now you'd do that with a camera.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I guess if you just had a digital camera pointed at it and it was you know, programmed to process it and put the images back out. I don't know. You know, I just, if I have a whiteboard full of information that I might want again someday, I just take pictures of it with my phone and make sure that they're legible, and then I just know that I can look at those again if I ever need it. The thing is, I'm never going to need it. I'm never going to actually look at any of those pictures that I've ever taken of any of that stuff. I just hate getting rid of stuff.
The one time that I did was when we were designing the June Familiar last year, and we had come out to visit in May, and I took a bunch of, we mapped out the choice maze and all of the outcomes on the whiteboard, so I took multiple pictures of that and then consulted them when I was writing
it. Oh, that's cool.
But I guess that's just as good as a whiteboard that prints. And slightly better because it's not pieces of paper.
Right.
It can get lost. RDFM says, hey guys, love the show. Halloween's coming. Can Chef's Nude serve an Edgar Allan Poe boy? I would suggest Edgar Allan Poe Ridge myself, but I used to live at Edgar Allan Poe Ridge. Yeah. So.
What else?
Also, Little Canadian needs a diner at some point. You could call it the Full Mountie. Congratulations, you made one of us gag on a pun.
Casey Wiederman says, hey, when the Hobopolis lounge item drops, can we have another shot at buying keys in Mr. Store? No, but, you know, eventually there'll be another clan furniture item in Mr. Store. Cuddlehut says, hi, JNS. A forum thread recently asked about KOL-wide pool table leaderboards, but what about personal records, like best personal winning streak and total win/loss stats? It was just data that I didn't necessarily want to keep track of, so that's why you don't get that. Alan Q. Smithy says, where can we get a pickle barrel shirt like all the fashionable hobos wear in the funny papers? You don't see that anymore. Guy wearing a barrel with suspenders. Yeah.
You don't see a lot of barrels in the wild anymore.
That is true.
Somebody who is wearing a barrel as clothing would probably be somebody who's well off enough to buy antique barrels.
Oh, yeah. Who would have thought that barrels would one day be expensive?
Not Donkey Kong.
What was I talking about? I saw another article lamenting the death of cursive.
Yeah.
And I would gladly dance around peeing on the grave of cursive if it were to actually
die. I'll be right there with you.
It's actually easier to write long things in cursive.
It's sure as shit not easier to read them.
That's true. If I were keeping a journal about all the dreamy boys at high school, I would write it in cursive just because each word becomes a discrete unit.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to lift your pen off the paper after every letter kind of thing. But
I don't do that anyway.
Yeah, writing is for homos.
It is.
Typing is where it's at now. I'm sure that there will always be cursive fonts.
That's probably true. Cloud Strife says, any chance of getting the WWXD bracelets in the real store? The What Would Zelenia Do?
I was just thinking it was What Would Guy Smiling Really Big.
I don't actually like those things, and I don't think that I would ever want to have any manufactured for us.
We're really late on that reference, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Back when we put it in, when that craze was still popular, somebody made them for, I think, like, San Francisco Con.
Yeah.
And that was funny. But now, not so much.
Samo Sammy says, I just got a great idea. Make buying things in the mall cost an adventure. It'd be hilarious. Sorry, I accidentally hit enter mid-sentence. That'd be great for collectors. You see this collection of fly swatters? I spent 100 million adventures on this collection of fly swatters. Bum Cheek City says, will we ever see any more rainbow pearls in the game? I don't believe so. We had talked about really fucking things up by making it so you could pulverize jewelry and get the jewel back.
Mm.
So that there would get to be an economy among recipe completionists in learning the rainbow pearl jewelry recipes.
Whoa.
Because that would allow you to learn them all, right? Which you just can't do now. But, anyway. Noah M says, shouldn't the plural of box of wine be boxen of wine? I don't like boxen as a plural. I get it. I get that it's funny.
You
I really do. Severus says, my ragamuffin imp just one-hit killed the boner Dagon. I love attack familiars. I know, man. They get short shrift.
It's
like they've drawn the short straw, and the amount of shrift that you get is equivalent proportionally to the length of the straw that you drew.
Is it short shrift is what you say when somebody gets, like...
I believe so. What would you say?
I don't know, but short shrift would be they didn't get... they didn't get their sins forgiven enough.
Huh.
Like, the priest in Romeo says don't make a short confession lest you get short shrift, because shriving somebody is
forgiving
their sins.
The meaning, according to the phrase finder at phrases.org.uk, to make short work of, to give little consideration to, not a word you hear every day. In fact, apart from this expression, it is now so rarely used that it's hard to think of a shrift that isn't short. The verb form shrive is also now an almost forgotten antique. A shrift is a penance imposed by a priest. So, I don't know, maybe it means short shrift is bad because it means that, in the 17th century, criminals were sent to the scaffold immediately after sentencing and only had time for a short shrift before being hanged.
Hmm.
So it's a penance prescribed when the confessor was near death. That's not at all the way I use it.
Yeah.
Little consideration, sure. But Lord Stefano says, can tilde be used in Candy Heart messages someday? Whatever you call that squiggly line. You call it a tilde, Lord Stefano.
Yes.
What do you call the hash mark? Isn't there a word for that, Riff?
The
Octothorpe?
The octothorpe, or the pound sign, or...
Except that, has anybody ever used that to mean pound?
I don't know.
Somebody just did in chat.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Like, man, I got my ass octothorped so hard last night by my prison roommate.
Hmm.
Fred Levi says, how good would you say you are at thinking of every mechanic that already exists in the game before introducing a new one? I stopped playing Yu-Gi-Oh!, but keeping track of the banned cards list, they're really bad at it. Somehow, there's always some really old common card nobody ever cared about that will just make some new card insanely overpowered. Yu-Gi-Oh! Seemed like such a stupid card game that I never paid any attention to it at all.
Yeah, same here.
Like, I don't know. Maybe this isn't the case, but I feel like I think that I either bought for like $5 used or downloaded a ROM of the Game Boy Advance version of an early version of the Yu-Gi-Oh! Card game, and it just seemed like there were a lot of cards that were just strictly speaking better than a lot of other cards, not like situationally, not like,
yeah.
It just that if you had card X, you would never ever use card Y, kind of thing. And maybe that's not the case, but it just is. Played in that Magic booster draft at KOLCon, and I got my ass handed to me by Nathreard in the first round, but then he went on to win the whole tournament, so I didn't feel bad about getting knocked out. I did beat him the first game. My Boggraiths, they marched through his swamps, and then I cast an Unholy Strength on them. It was like playing Magic back in the day. I was casting Unholy Strength on Boggraiths, and then they were using their Swamp Walk to kill the other wizard. That's like old school. All of those things existed when I started playing Magic.
Yep.
Bob Muffins suggests that we do a barrel roll. Riff, do you know where that meme came from?
Not at all.
There was a Calvin and Hobbes where he stamped out in the snow, hey jet pilots, do a barrel roll.
Oh, from the Nintendo video game Star Fox 64?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think Slippy the Frog is always telling you to do a barrel roll.
Okay. However, the barrel roll which players perform in-game is actually an aileron roll.
Yeah, technically.
Crap, I lost the questions thing. Pobblebunk says, Recent podcast referenced a model train that mayhaps could move a few peanuts around. You should have a model train that runs between your offices there, although you'd probably end up sending each other notes and then poop and then small firecrackers. I would actually probably send firecrackers that were wrapped with poop.
Ew.
And a note around them. So you'd want to pick it up to see what the note said, but then there would be a little explosion of poop in your mouth.
A poop explosion. Why would you put the note in your mouth?
Well, because it would say, swallow this after reading, because it's confidential.
Right.
Yeah. Although most of them would probably just say things like, you're a fag. Or it's like, you are, you know, space A, space fag. Like,
we should run a tiny rail line between Mesa and Minneapolis.
Oh, yeah, that'd be cool.
Then you could send me stuff.
It's true. Like firecrackers coated in poop.
How long would the fuse have to be? Or how fast is our tiny train going?
Yeah, I mean, it's very small, so it could go very fast, right?
Of course.
Like, I got a bicycle that was lighter than my old bicycle, and I can go, like, half again as fast on it, right? So, you think, you get a train that weighs, like, nearly nothing, like you made a train out of, like, soap bubbles.
Yeah.
Imagine how fast that train could go.
You could get that, What's that weird NASA foam substance they made that is almost not heavier than air?
Huh. I don't know. Huh. So, somebody linked us to, who was it? Apocalypse Throb links to a shiv365.blogspot.com, which is apparently a new picture of a shiv every day.
Oh, yep.
Great.
That's a lot of shivs. Blarg says, I know you get this question a lot, but are we ever going to see brimstone/plexi/stainless outfits? I mean, come on. The hardcore oxy tattoo would be the easiest thing ever. You'd be drawing air. I'd be drawing breath. And as long as I draw breath, I won't draw those tattoos.
You should draw air supply.
Oh, yeah.
And just make...
Make
one of the make each of the guys from Air Supply and be those two tattoos.
Yeah. I thought you were gonna say I could make some love out of nothing at all.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure that you can though. You gotta start with some raw materials. I think they were being unrealistic there.
You think?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he was saying he didn't know how he did it.
Right.
So maybe he wasn't doing it at all. Sharpies or Sharp says, have you guys forgot to push the button for September 19th? Because I haven't had a single encounter from certain pirates that are supposed to appear that day. Have we done the pirates more than once? I mean, did we, like, decide that that was something that we were going to do every Talk Like a Pirate Day? I know that we had forgotten to put in the... I did forget to put in the Benarca, because I don't mind doing that every year.
Yeah.
But
I don't think so.
Like, I don't know if we had decided... I don't know whether we fucked up or not, because I don't know whether we had decided that Talk Like a Pirate Day is something we were going to do every year.
We did... We didn't do the same thing every year for at least the first couple three.
Yeah. I mean, I don't feel like we did anything the first couple, right? Was it last year that we put the monsters in, the Feast of Boris-style monsters, though? The perambulating pirate and the peripatetic pirate.
When did those go in?
Yeah. NC Sorcerer says, I'm still waiting for you guys to have the Outbox auto-delete after a certain point, because I still have K-mails from when my account was first started, and therefore it takes like 3 hours to load my Outbox if I need to ever check.
Can't you delete things out of your Outbox?
It takes 3 hours to load. Uh-huh. I have a feeling that before too long we're going to have to do that. We're just going to say... we'll need to kind of change the way that it works, right? We'll need to make it so you can save messages from your Outbox and then just start harvesting them after like 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. Because it's ridiculous. The amount of resources being used on that. Azu says... I was playing the new Monkey Island game and found it nice that there was a tiny plastic sword skewering a jumbo olive obtained from a grog teeny. Have you guys played the games yet?
Huh. No, I haven't.
I wonder if that was a coincidence?
I don't know.
I mean, I would not be at all surprised if the guys working at Telltale had played KOL.
Yeah.
Right? That's kind of funny, though, if it was real. Mm. I'd be happy about that. Fred Levi says, hearing you talking about milk making you throw up reminds me of that time I must have had a stomach flu or something and decided that consuming anything but water would make me throw up. Hmm. Long story short, I passed out and got rushed to the hospital on Halloween. Get this kid a bucket full of candy, stat!
No, we've only done the pirates once. Last year.
It was last year. Oh no, another putt said, why no talk like a pirate day? Arr. Vakakamul says, I'd like to see Fuzzy Dice improved. First, I thought you said I'd like to see Fuzzy Dice removed.
Hmm. Sorry, sir. We're going to have to remove your Fuzzy Dice. No. The cancer has spread to your Fuzzy Dice.
Slavok says, Happy Monday, JNS. Could we have something like HTML anchor links in the clan activity log? Oh. Maybe. Fuck. I hate HTMLs. I think your kid's upset about something, Mr. Skullhead.
He hates HTMLs, too.
All he does is cry. That's not the threat I was looking for. Nor were those the droids. Okay. Sorry. I think I'm going to run us out of questions here. It's going too fast. Let's see if any new replies came into the Twatter.
NC Sorcerer said that he sent in a bunch of questions to the Twitter and we ignored them. We could read those.
Did he?
Apparently.
Huh. Let's see. Emiliana had written, just wanted to add in my own thanks for the awesome con. I vote it should be subtitled KOL Con 6, The Revenge of the Cute Babies. Or Babbies.
We did have several.
Were there?
There was mine.
There was yours. I saw one other baby.
Friend of Lislar's maybe had a her baby there. I think they're counting Lou still, even though she's all walking and stuff.
Mm, yeah. Hashel. 47 says, could you add a hit message to the Skeletor Sommelier where he hits you with a bottle of champagne and makes you feel real pain?
Hmm.
That's Mr. Skullhead's job to make the jokes around here, Hashel 47. And this town ain't big enough for the both of you. Asdel Tier says, if we're going to have a dwarf town, it should be based off of Boat Murdered, the greatest dwarf fortress ever. Do you know anything about Boat Murdered?
No. Heard of it.
Noah Nam says, so more about this 5-minute rollover idea. Yeah, the ball's rolling on it. Now that con is over, I can start dealing with getting hardware ordered and getting that software ordered and getting the short order cook fired for fucking up my order. Ordered. Yeah. I don't know what happens then. Like, I'm a little concerned that we would end up with some weird... The way that the backup works on the MySQL stuff, I don't know if it is actually going to work for us. I need to talk to Geoff about that, because if it doesn't do real-time backups, right? If it doesn't do like a snapshot where it gets the whole thing all at once, then that's going to be awful to restore from, right? Because if you unequip something and then the player table gets backed up, but not the inventory table or whatever, it's just going to do like it would create a lot of weird duping and something. It wouldn't be as bad as White Wednesday, but it would still be significantly worse than if the database crashed now, right? Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I don't entirely know how that works. And the main thing about it that would make rollover faster potentially is that we would not have to do the full backups at rollover. But there might, just because of the way the game works, there might just not be any way around that. I'll have to find out for sure. Yeah, I don't know. Trail Mix says, "Dear JNS, can you make it so we can combine a halibut with all-purpose cleaner and banjo strings to make a lutefisk?" Why the all-purpose cleaner?
Because you make lutefisk by soaking fish in lye.
Oh.
Yeah. I still haven't tried any, and I don't think I'm gonna.
I don't believe you.
Okay, you make it by soaking fish in the truth. Which is really hard, because you can't handle the truth.
That's true. It'll burn your fingerprints off. RDFM says, "How about a familiar that you have to constantly give junk items to keep it from pawning your television?" Wait, there are no televisions in the kingdom. Goddamn junkies. That's funny. Lord Stefano says, /DC command, which would let you disconnect yourself. Forsakthrin1 says, "If you guys could change the color of your skin to any color, what would it be?" Boy, that's a hard one.
Yeah. Maybe kind of used to what I got.
Perfectly white. Ooh, or pink, so it looked like I was always embarrassed, or just got out of a really hot shower.
Right. Or, well, then, because you could do your Dr. Zoidberg costume a lot easier.
Oh, that's true, yeah. Your entire skin was pink.
Mm-hmm.
I would just have to, and I've been thinking about doing this anyway. What I think I could do is get my lip cut into 4 or 6 little slices, mm-hmm. my upper lip, right? And then just keep, like, damaging it so that it scarifies, and I get, like, lip fingers.
Mm.
I think that'd be cool. How come nobody ever does body modification like that? It kind of makes your mouth into like a beaded curtain.
Right. I can't imagine why anybody wouldn't do that. I don't know if that would... that might give you a weird speech impediment.
You think? Maybe you'd sound like Dr. Zoidberg and the costume would be even better.
That's true.
I wonder if anybody has ever done serious body modification that they later regretted.
Nah.
Couldn't be. Mr. Crack says, "It would be swell if we could get a fresh supply of powdered toad horn." Yeah, but it would ruin people's faith in the traveling traders whole deal. Right? If we brought back powdered toad horn, nobody would ever buy anything from the traveling trader again, because they would be like, "Well, he'll just be back in 2 years or whatever shit. He's a jerk." Doppelheathen says, "Idea for a minor, possibly useless feature. Option to override the custom avatar with the outfit avatar if wearing one of the outfits. What do you think?" I kind of wish that I had that feature for myself, actually. Because yeah, whenever I test outfit avatars, I have to turn off my custom avatar to do so. Wouldn't be too hard, actually. It would just be a toggle. We could set it on the... It could actually just be a different... We could have it, like, as -1 on the avatar field. It wouldn't have to do anything, because then we could just show a picture of it and annotate it in the list in the custom avatar drop-down. That's not a bad idea. I'm going to post that in my Toad-O list. Whatever happened to Bain de Soleil? Does that exist anymore?
I think so.
I'm going to search for it and see what happens. No, that's apparently... There's a website for Bain de Soleil. It's Bain de Soleil.
Bain. You can use it to keep Soleil Moon Fry away from you.
Huh. But why would you want to?
Recent pictures attest to the wisdom of keeping her away from you.
What?
You know what's weird is Winnie Cooper from The Wonder Years. Not attractive anymore.
Really?
The way that her facial features matured, she kind of looks like an alien.
Hmm. What is her real name?
Danica McKellar.
Danica McKellar, huh? I don't know. I mean,
there was something unsettling about her look.
I would not describe her as weird looking at all. I guess maybe I could see why somebody would say that, but whatever. She's still cute. Grim Reaper CRO says, will prizes in Raffle House change? And if they will, when will that be? Well, it wouldn't be a surprise if we told you about it, Grim Reaper CRO.
We're crying out loud.
Lurch Stefano says, can we make pulls during Ronin from clan stashes someday? Huh. I'm going to go ahead and say no, because that
seems like that would really screw things up.
Hey, check it out. It's iSpeculum, Checulum, Inulum, Bedumpulum. Feli Noel says, hey, how come there aren't any sky pirates? Those are the best kind of pirates. They could be past the beanstalk or in the pirate cove with fledges. Sky pirates?
I disagree, because I believe that ice pirates are the best kind of pirates.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Vardok says, what time is the radio on? The radio is on all the time. I wish they would turn off the goddamn radio. Jacques Cousteau versus the butt pirates of the Caribbean. That was a movie we wanted to make in high school.
Yep.
And the Japanese chef / captain constantly be confusing people by playing wok pranks, and they would think that he was ordering them to wok a plank. Every once in a while, you would open a wok, and a bunch of those paper snakes would fly out on springs. Woks aren't something that you open, is the problem. So it's hard to imagine enough wok pranks to make that a running gag.
I think it would just be suspending the wok above the door, yeah, yeah. So when you open the door, it lands on your head.
Oh, yeah, or dumps a pan of stir-fry onto you.
Yeah. Boiling water.
You were so funny.
Tazy says, when will the VIP lounge have a foosball table? Well, I don't know. We got to add the swimming pool and the swimming pool table first.
Yeah. As soon as foosball isn't completely retarded, I think, is when we're going to do that.
The what?
Yeah. I said it. Fuck foosball.
I've always been so bad at foosball that I don't even understand what it would mean to be good at foosball.
Yeah, just looking at the table, I'm not sure how you're supposed to go about doing it.
Yeah, like, it's like, I understand that they're, like, I guess there was, like, a foosball table in Hot Stuff's frat house, and so he got kind of good at foosball because he was, you know, was there, and they were playing it all the time. But, like, I don't understand how anyone could possibly move that fast. Like, I cannot reliably do a goddamn thing with a foosball table.
Yeah.
And, like...
Well, I tend to put the ball down and then move some of the little guys back and forth and kick the ball around the thing. And since if somebody else were to grab the handles on the other side, I'd probably walk away. There's not much to do. I tried to set it up so that I could score a goal. Like, moved the other guys out of the way and turned the thing. It still didn't go where I wanted it to go.
Yeah.
I don't know how you do anything on purpose.
Rotini Pants says, by putting a sombrero on the Mad Hat rack, should I not give hovering sombrero-type stat gains? No, not necessarily, because we probably explicitly didn't do that, because it would have been too obvious.
Right.
Lord Stefano says, can we have a catapult weapon or skill that allows us to throw any item at another person? Yeah, it's called K-Mail, and you can totally pretend that it's delivered via catapult.
Yep.
Oh, I see. And then it can smash into debris, detritus, and shards, and maybe give splinters if it's a crate. What if it's a crate of sharts? Would you end up with shart shards and splinters?
What's a shart?
A shart is when you go to fart and accidentally poop yourself.
I see.
It's a cross between shitting and farting.
Hmm.
So you can see why you know.
Could you get some shart on your taint?
Maybe. Wow. Well, I mean, I feel like that's mostly where it ends up, right?
Yeah, it would have to be.
I figured you'd like that word a lot.
There's a... They're selling jarts again, by the way.
Are they?
Really?
Yeah, real ones?
Not sharp, pointy ones.
Like just, suction cup jarts?
It's the same kind of deal, though. It's like a plastic body with a weighted nose. The nose is rounded, so it would just put a dent in your head instead of a spike through your head.
Yeah.
I think there's still a decent-sized element of danger there.
Seal Club Before Life says, make a pet that lowers monster level?
Yeah.
Lord Stefano says, if a PvP fight is a cat fight, the winner should receive a handful of hair or a gob of wet hair, because all the PvP cat fights in our game take place in the shower.
Yeah.
Do you think that any fight between two women is a cat fight?
Hmm.
Well,
I think
a female boxing match it's wouldn't be a
fighting
cat.
Style. Yeah, yeah.
It's like two hair, women it's are hair just, pulling yeah. and scratching is what makes it yeah. a cat fight.
If they're right? just throwing punches like dudes would, then
but so then what if dudes could? So then dudes could have a cat fight.
I believe so.
So sure. pulling hair. I mean, it'd be impossible to like have a cat fight with you slapping. Yeah, I mean, that's more of a slap fight though.
Like no, it's slapping fight. Being a component of the fighting.
I see.
But yeah, it's definitely the hair and the scratching is yeah. where it's at. So if you were to grab my beard and pull it.
Did you ever notice that all you had to do was add an A to Dr. Phil's name and he becomes Dr. Fail?
I've always believed that.
SF Warlock says, next year could con be about a week or two earlier, so the people in college on the quarter system aren't coming back from the weekend directly into classes. You know, it is so difficult to balance that kind of stuff across the wide variety of people who come or don't come to KOLCon. I think that what we're going to try to do is actually get things booked far enough ahead of time that we can have Jonathan Colton play.
Mm-hmm.
Because that, you know, I feel like we could actually maybe profitably sell tickets to that.
Yeah.
Right. And it, I don't know. You know, it like we need that kind of advance notice. He had a show booked. He couldn't come the first time we tried to get him because he had a kid that exact day.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I would love to see a live performance of Diseases of Yore.
Yeah, I think that would...
with both of them at our place.
The condition of... I like that venue a whole lot for a concert.
Yeah.
I have to say. Like Pfeiffer was saying he really didn't feel like there were as many people at the concert, and I don't know if that's true. I think it was just a much just really bigger room and a yeah. different setup. It's like there were people at the tables in the back,
yeah,
and there was a wide space in front of the stage.
Though there were a lot of people off in the other room doing other stuff during the concert, yeah. right? Like the fact that that's where the bar was part of the problem there. I don't know if we had intended for there to be a bar in each of the rooms. We thought there was going to be two bars, but then the bartenders like talked me out of it because they didn't want to constantly be sending people to the other bar to get beer, you know,
yeah.
at the one that didn't have beer. So,
and there was never any issue though getting out of that room and over to the bar.
Yeah.
So I was kind of confused by the fact that there were people like just sitting playing Rock Band while a rock band was playing in the next room.
Yeah.
But I can understand that, you know, people have different priorities.
Yeah.
Maybe they were the Amish kids on their Rumspringa and they finally wanted to try the rock band that they'd heard so much about in printed material, which is the only way they could find out about stuff because they were Amish.
What did you think about Sean, the Yellow Minute kid?
I didn't stay for a lot of it.
Oh.
But I thought...
It's a shame.
I thought that... here's what I thought. I thought that it's something that I want to sit and listen to in headphones.
Okay.
It just didn't seem quite like something that translates to a live act.
Really? Because yeah. I don't know. I have had a song that he played at that concert stuck in my head since the concert. Like, I honestly feel like the stuff that he was doing there live would not have been out of place at all if I heard it on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like the new single from the new person that people were paying attention to, you know, the latest indie darling from some soundtrack, right? Like, what's weird is I thought that kid was like 18 and he's like apparently significantly closer to our age than 18. Right?
You know, I'm not saying that, like, I thought it sounded really cool, but it's... I'm trying to think of an act that would have a similar...
See, I think on the album he's with his whole band, and
oh, okay.
it's not necessarily... It's not just the same kind of deal, right? Like, I don't think that there are any recordings of the stuff that he was doing at the show, because it's just, like, a different act when it's just him. Because
it was so... It seemed really quiet and intimate, and I just wasn't in the mood for that.
Yeah.
Because I was drunk and boisterous.
Yeah.
So I thought, man, I gotta check this guy out later. He sounds really good.
That was when I was still semi-conscious.
You know what else is really good? We're almost done. We are done, but what else is really good is Black Lotus's solo disc.
I saw
Jesus,
him play, but I saw him at the record release party in New York, but I didn't, he hadn't, there had been some fuck up with the CD pressing, and so he didn't actually have CDs.
Oh, that's right, he gave away other
CDs. He was giving away a bunch of CDs that he didn't want from his house anymore, stuff that people had given.
With his blessing, I'll send that to you, because it is fantastic. Yeah.
I really like him a lot.
Yeah.
Like, we went to, on the way to the airport, we went and had breakfast with the two of them this morning, and like, they're just both such nice guys. I'm not saying anything bad about the other members of MC Frontalot's band. It's just that Damien and Brandon are the ones that I've spent the most time with.
Yeah.
Dan, tell you, the philosophy professor drummer hybrid, winning combination.
Absolutely.
Let's see, this is SF Warlock. James says, could you please put a kosher deli in the market square? It would have some different meats and stuff and condiments to make certain sandwiches. You can buy the ingredients from the deli, but you need to have the skill to make the sandwiches. Yeah, Hot Stuff could finally get his witchcrafting in.
The Declaration of Independence.
What?
Whenever I think of Hot Stuff jokes, it's one that he proposed for the other game we're working on where you cast a spell and it makes a pen write the letters N and D, which then fly at your opponent and dent him. So it's the Declaration of Independence.
Jesus. You're going to have to go fire Hot Stuff. I'll be right back. AZN Kid Kevin says, did you know that Boozer Bear found out another bug? He's going to teach me it. Not really. Him and Pie Monkey are competing to see who nets the most meat first. I think this is a message from 6 years ago AD. Yep. Nihilist Schism says, what do you think of the recent surge in the prices of Mr. Accessory? What outside or inside influences do you attribute it to? Hell, I don't know. We're going to see. We'll see what happens. Extantic says, hey guys, what's your opinion on Scribble Knots? I think you already got our opinion on Scribble Knots early. Atticus G. Belfry. That's kind of a funny name. I want to thank Jake and Company for making such an entertaining game. Keep it up, guys. King Stupid says, you guys ever watch Better Off Ted? It's out on Hulu. You'll love it, I promise. I've never even heard of that. All right, First Boy on the Moon writes a poem. At KOL Con, I got my trivia on.
Is that a challenge? First Boy to get to the moon has to write a poem?
Yes. Third place, where'd we slip? Met Scully and Jick. Drank too much, nearly got sick. Verdict, worth the trip. Hachi says, when's the new C-Stuff going to be ready? Before the end of the year. Probably before we start working on... Before Crimbo. King Stupid says, Scully, can we get an Easter egg on the time slay of this Crimbo? Nothing fancy. Funny text, maybe, or a zone that you can use old Crimbo parts. A long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, Scully was talking about a juggling familiar. Ever happened, maybe? Were you talking about a juggling? Or maybe a skill that grants juggling? Not sure what it would do. You've already got a skill that uses two combat items, he writes.
And we already have an item that's juggling balls.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe we'll have something juggling something for one of the October 6th familiars, because fuck.
I made a joke the other day where I was like doing like a Star Wars Forrest Gump hybrid. I was like, dear God, make me Luke Skywalker so I can be from a galaxy far, far, far away from here. And it was funny, but I guess you had to be there.
Yeah, I was there is the thing.
Damn
no,
it.
I wasn't there.
I was right there with you. No, I wasn't. You're retarded. Mike the Poor says, for the KOL LARP name, how about K-O-I-R-L? Kingdom of In Real Loathing. So SF Warlock says, new name for the LARP, KOL the Not At Home Game. People are going to want us to put the content of the LARP in digital form so that they can play the LARP. And I think doing a virtual version of a live-action version of a computer role-playing game would actually be kind of funny. Jose Cuervo says, please add in a Psycho reference when you compact the choice adventures in the haunted bathroom. Need Psycho shower scene.
Psycho isn't really ghost related, though.
Yeah.
This clock is fast. Like, geez, we're stepping on spec here. We
got a couple minutes. Anita Coffee says, driving back from Flagstaff, Princess Poppycock and I saw an Isuzu Ascender and tried to come up with the geekiest KOL vanity plate for it. Got any suggestions? It's funny that Isuzu makes a truck called the Ascender.
Yeah.
I mean, if you just put speed on it, no one would ever get it.
Yeah.
It takes all the fun out of driving. What are the real KOL vanity plates? My uncle has the plate 10 meat, but that's because he is a butcher.
Yeah.
Not because he had that before I made KOL. It's kind of funny, though.
I haven't seen anybody who has one except... I mean, you have. You don't have one.
No.
It's
a 749 RPV. It's a reference to my favorite robot in the Krimborg Collective.
We had Jezzerfly, which is my wife's character name, but in Minneapolis it costs $100 a year to have a vanity plate instead of 20, and so it's like $80 more than I would ever spend in a year.
Was it $20 a year here?
Or less, yeah.
I know when
some trivial, some pittance.
It was really cheap in Illinois, and then when I moved to Arizona, I never saw vanity plates because it was, like, really, really expensive. But then I think they reduced it at some point in the last, like, 10 years or so. We should get off of El Telefono. All right. I'm going to see if he's ready. I guess Adria has Moxious as a license plate.
Mm-hmm.
That's funny. And didn't Aubrey Ann have Meat Pliz?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Righteous Babe tried to get WTF FTW, and they wouldn't let her have it.
Huh.
Or, no, she wanted to get OMG WTF.
All right. Oh, you know what I should do is probably get a song. All right. We'll see you Thursday.
Bye.
With diesel power.